Hashtag, hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day, mateys. Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Tolles, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mount and founder of Global Force Wrestling. And you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day. And this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's a great day. We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December. And I get on the phone with damn Canadians and we're spitting snow. So.
And it's been a rather warm day here in Sault Ste. Marie. This is Turnbuckle Talk, episode 368, returns, debuts, and new promotions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Best. And yes, I know I sound a little different, but that's only because I am dealing with a sore throat. I've got OMD alongside me. How are you doing, brother?
I am doing very, very well here. I'm just relaxing, kicking back. I've got my beloved Leafs game on, and now it's time to talk some shop.
You're not watching NXT right now?
No. I'll wait and watch that at 11.
Yeah, so today's episode returns, debuts, and new promotions. What do you say we get this started off with one of those three things? We'll talk. Let's talk returns.
Returns, okay.
Last night, we saw a fairly big name in the WWE landscape make his return last night. In a winning fashion against Ivar, one being Sheamus.
Yes.
Fantastic match last night that he had. He looked great out there. But according to some of the IWC fans, he came at the expense of some very nasty fat jokes.
Yes.
He responded to that on his Twitter and said, "In it," and I read this as Cartman, by the way. He said, "I'm big boned," in his response. Let's talk about Sheamus' return. What did you think about that last night?
That was fantastic. A little bit of a surprise spot for where they had him for what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset. I know we were just as guilty on the Raw Patrol of saying he was coming back looking a little bit bigger.
Yeah, and that's all we said was there, like he has a bit of a paunch on him, and we did talk about like his workout regimen, which is insane.
Yes. But you also have to remember, I mean, the guy is 45 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dad bod and all of that is starting to creep in, and that just comes with age.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and put it on him because these trolls here in the IWC are probably far worse shape or going to get there very, very soon.
Hey, I'll be the first to admit. I mean, I'm a big guy myself, but talking about Sheamus's return, where does he go from here? Like, who do you want to see him targeting?
I do want to see him target that Intercontinental Championship, but I don't want to see him just thrust into that title picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to see him build some momentum. I think it'll all be determined really in a couple of weeks after the draft. I'd love to see him have a feud with Ivar or a feud with Bronson Reed. Get through the big, big guys.
Mm-hmm.
And whether win or lose, you know, make those fantastic. We know that he can deliver bangers.
Yeah.
We know that those two guys can work. We saw it last night with Ivar.
And how fitting, too, was it that his last match was in Toronto,
yeah,
where he took on Edge in Edge's last WWE match for now, because I do think Edge could very well come back to the WWE somewhere down the road. And then his return match is in Montreal. It's
right?
Almost like he's got like a special place for Canada. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I do agree with you. I do think that maybe giving him a shot at the Intercontinental somewhere down the line, like him and Sami Zayn have put on bangers in the past.
Exactly.
And just as you said, don't give it to him too soon, because right now Sami's got this thing with Chad Gable. Yeah, with Sheamus' return, I think you kind of want to build him back up. Remind people who he is. Give him some mid-card matches like Ivar. Give him Bronson Reed. Him and Bronson Reed would put on a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Even when Gunther comes back, him and Gunther having a one-on-one would be fine.
Yep. I would be remiss if I didn't give Bubba a plug on this one. I could get behind Sheamus and Drew one more time. One-off fight. And
how cool was it, though? Sorry.
I was going to say, and then
give finish your story.
Sheamus his shot at Clash at the Castle, so that potentially he and Drew could share that moment as champions together.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. I don't mind that idea. How cool was it though that Sheamus returned? Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes. Were you going to ask me how cool he returned with his original music?
Yeah.
I
didn't freeze up that time, so...
You've been freezing up and glitching out quite a bit. I missed it. It was when you guys pointed it out, because I heard the original, like the start of his newer theme, but I did not hear the lyrics. I did not hear any of that.
You didn't hear no lobster head?
No. I did not.
Do we see, like we talked about Sheamus going after the Intercontinental. Do we see at one point Sheamus maybe makes a run, one last run for either the WWE World Heavyweight or the Undisputed title at some point?
Absolutely. I don't think you can have this return without that.
Because I do feel like this is going to be Sheamus's last run with the company before he rides off into the sunset.
See, I don't. I think he's got a lot left in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could revisit the classic Sheamus Randy Orton rivalry. If you put a belt on Sheamus, whether it's the Intercontinental or a world title, and have Randy win it to get his 15th, drop it to back to somebody else, potentially even a Cody Rhodes, and then get his 16th. And I do believe, and I've said this for the last decade, that Randy is the guy that needs to break the record.
You're talking the old Ric Flair record.
Yes. Well, what WWE announces as the Ric Flair record.
Yeah. Because right now I'm excited to see, like, what Sheamus can do, because I do feel like this could be his last run. Maybe he's going to be that guy who's there to help get over some of these younger dudes. I mean, we've already seen it when he tried teaming with Ridge Holland and Pete Dunne, the Brawling Brutes.
Yep.
And that actually worked out for Pete Dunne, not so much Ridge Holland right now. I mean, sort of Ridge Holland, but
it's that. I think they rushed Ridge even in NXT and he was too green there, and then they rushed him up.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he was able to sit under the learning curve of Sheamus, but then Sheamus got hurt and they just kept feeding him to the wolves.
Yeah. And now Ridge is working down in NXT where he's the last thing I saw of him was Sean NXT. Spears thing. Yeah.
Well, apparently now, like last week, he attacked Joe Gacy from behind with a chair to align with Spears.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm very happy that Sheamus is back in the ring. But to be honest, at the same time, like, I didn't really miss him in his absence.
I did and I didn't, because you just get so used to it and you go with the flow, because injuries happen in this industry.
Right.
So you've got to just sort of take it as it comes and see who steps up. And I mean, the industry has flourished in his recovery time.
Right. Yeah, because like when they said Sheamus returns this Friday, I'm like, and I wasn't like, oh, Sheamus was out. I'm like, wait, Sheamus is returning? And then it made me click in. I'm like, oh yeah, the last match he had was in August of last year.
Yep.
But yeah, like, I'm very, very intrigued to see how far this goes. Do I see him winning any of the championships? Maybe, maybe not, but we'll see how that plays out.
Right.
I'm glad he's returned to his theme, and I hope it's not a one-night thing like it was last night.
Right.
I hope it is a little bit more permanent, but if they do give him a better theme, I'd be all for that too.
Yeah. I'd love to hear them add... I mean, I know we get it with Cole and McAfee doing the it's fight night, but I'd love to hear that added at the start of his theme.
Yeah. But yeah, Sheamus is back. He also cut a promo for Raw, on Raw for a YouTube. Where he said he's willing to take on all comers, essentially.
Oh, did he? Sorry, you.
Oh, sorry about that. I froze completely out there.
Yeah, I did. Your technical issues have been hitting tonight hard.
Yeah. But yeah, he said he was willing to take on all comers. And that just, again, that opens up the floodgates for the amount of different feuds he could have. He doesn't necessarily have to do it all on Raw. With the draft on the way, he can go to NXT and do some matches there, which I think he'd be great doing there. He can go to SmackDown and, well, him and Tyler Bate. Wow, that would be a great match too.
Him and him and Pete Dunne as well.
I am just thinking about all the matches I want to see Sheamus do now, and I'm just like, okay, I'm on board with this return now.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So now that we're, what do you say we move off the Sheamus train here? Because like that was a fantastic return. Totally enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing what he does next.
Yes.
But let's talk about, since I've got NXT on the screen, there is a current NXT superstar who championed the debut of one Tama Tonga.
Okay.
That would be Carl Anderson.
Okay.
He made an appearance on Busting Out Radio to talk about, you know, his wrestling career and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And he goes on to talk about Tama Tonga's debut, because that was one of the subjects that they had brought up. And he said, if I just pull up the article here. Okay. Yeah. So when he was over in New Japan, remember when he had that championship? I can't remember. I think it was the US title over there.
Right.
Before he, when he signed with the WWE, well, New Japan, as you know, WWE allowed him to go and drop the title over there.
Right.
And one of those shows was the January 4th Tokyo Dome show. And while he was there, he found out that Tama Tonga's contract was coming up. And immediately he got on the phone and texted Triple H, "You need to hire this guy." if you don't, you're missing out on him.
Yep. That's interesting. I know we know they have their history with being founding members each of the Bullet Club, along with one Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Now we've got Tama Tonga involved in the Bloodline, which is not really where I wanted him to go. I wanted to let him do his own thing, cook for a little bit before getting involved in that. But I do like the direction they took it.
Yeah, with Solo Sikoa taking over the leadership for now.
Yep. Yep.
I've been a huge fan of Tama Tonga's for quite a number of years now. Yes. I've watched him in New Japan, and just knowing that he's Haku's son just adds that extra little bit of fear in me.
And I could be wrong, so please correct me if I am, but I believe that Tama Tonga was actually in WWE a number of years ago, back in the days of the battles between the Sin Caras, when there was Sin Cara El Negro and I cannot remember Sin Cara Blue. And I believe he was either tagged to play the second Sin Cara, and then after he unmasked, he was either, I can't remember if he was Unico or Camacho.
Hmm. You're thinking of his brother, I believe. Oh, I'm trying to remember here. He was Camacho. The rest of you're thinking of is Camacho. You're thinking of Tongaloa.
Oh, okay.
Who is brothers of with Tama Tonga.
Okay.
Now there is another brother that's rumored to be WWE bound as well.
Ooh.
And that would be Hikuleo.
Okay.
Hikuleo, yeah. Hikuleo. He's on his way. His contract supposedly comes up in June. Could very well be on his way to the WWE as well. Does he join the Bloodline as well?
I don't know. I think I'd like to see him maybe join the OC if we can get that back up and running. Because Hikuleo is the biological son of Haku.
Yeah.
Now, it was actually funny because I know there was a lot of talk at one point that Tama Tonga was Haku's adopted son, but it was actually Haku that was adopted into the Samoan dynasty.
Yeah.
Hikuleo is a fantastic worker for his size.
Yeah.
And he's really learned. I've watched him make appearances in TNA. I watched him make appearances in AEW. I've seen what he's done in Japan. He is going to do big things if he does sign with WWE.
And that would be a smart move for him, in my personal opinion. I think that would be, he's got family there. I mean, Tama Tonga's there, Solo, the Usos, Roman Reigns, people that can help him out, you know?
Great. Could we see Haku return to the WWE as a guide?
Do we see Haku go to the Hall of Fame?
I would love it. I would love it. It needs
to he's another guy I've been trying to champion his Hall of Fame induction.
Absolutely.
And he was in Philadelphia. Haku was.
Yes,
so was Tama Tonga. So was all the others. They were all there for Leah Maivia's induction.
Yes.
Because of the fact that, you know, Peter Maivia, Leah Maivia brought these boys into the professional wrestling realm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd almost want to see, like, and I know we've said it, like, we didn't want Tama Tonga to join the Bloodline, but I like the way they did it. We didn't want him to join the Bullet Club. But, I mean, you've got so many iterations now with AJ Styles off doing his own thing, Finn Balor doing the Judgment Day, Gallows and Anderson every which way but winning.
Yeah.
So I think maybe you need to get an actual Bullet Club reunion going. Maybe let Finn and AJ do their own thing and let the OGs of the Bullet Club in Gallows and Anderson now take the reins on it.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm excited. Like I'm very glad that it was Carl Anderson who had his fingers on the pulse with bringing with saying, hey, to Hunter, hey, you need to bring this dude over, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And that means that, like, that to me tells me that Hunter listens to like what other wrestlers are telling him.
Yep.
About bringing guys over.
Yep. All we can do now is wait and see. I mean, this draft is going to open up a world of possibilities between Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and free agents. And then again, we have to wonder, is there going to be crossover with TNA, given that they're both NXT and TNA are in the Performance Center?
Yeah. Oh, I'm... There's just so many, like we were talking about Sheamus and the dream feuds for him. There's a lot of dream matches I kind of want to see Tama do. And that's the interesting thing too, is there's a lot of these guys that are in the WWE that Tama hasn't even wrestled yet.
Right. But let's look at it, even go back and have a classic Tama Tonga and Shinsuke.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Give me that all day, every day. I kind of want to see because he attacked Jimmy Uso. I want to see that as Tama's first feud.
Right. I'm with you, but I'm also wondering: is do we actually get a debuting Jacob Fatu soon? We know that he is rumored to have signed with WWE as of a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he was going around saying that. Himself, he was saying it himself that he signed.
Yep. But we don't have any actual confirmation.
And we won't have that confirmation until we actually see him on WWE TV. But yeah, no, I'm just thinking about Tama Tonga and what he did to Jay. There's a part of me that wishes that that happened in front of the Philadelphia crowd, because when he did it in front of the Detroit crowd, they seemed a little bit more quiet on Tama's debut
you could still hear the holy chants.
Yeah.
Through the crowd.
Yeah.
The Philly crowd would have been a bigger spectacle, but I think you needed to save something for SmackDown outside of the Raw after WrestleMania.
And I think that's why even yesterday when they revealed the new tag team titles, the back of my mind, I was like, why didn't they do this at the Raw after Mania? But then I'm like, wait a minute, we're not in the Vince McMahon era anymore. We're in the Hunter Hearst Helmsley era. Yep. Where the Evolution era, as Carl corrected everybody yesterday on. We're in that era where Hunter's going to slowly reveal these moving parts as they come, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a matter of, oh, we've signed this guy, we've got to get him to TV as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's give them credit. I mean, you look what they did with Jade Cargill in terms of prepping her. You gave her a spot in the Royal Rumble, and then you delayed her in-ring debut until WrestleMania. And you put her in a match where she could be protected.
The same thing happened to her on SmackDown. She was put in a handicap match where she was protected because she had on the opposite side. It was Piper Niven and Chelsea Green, want to say. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a tag match. She teamed with Bianca.
Oh, I thought it was a handicap match. Nope. I totally forgot Bianca was there. because of Jade and how dominant she got when she got in the ring.
Yeah.
And also just before that match, as the bell was ringing, we saw a Bo Dallas promo pop up on it right in the middle of it all.
Right.
But yeah, like I'm hoping, and but at the same time, I'm not hoping that we see Tama's debut match this Friday on SmackDown. I think, though, at the same time, I would want to hold off and put him maybe at Backlash for a match.
That's what I think they're going to do. I think you're going to wait. You're going to see it at Backlash, but I think it'd be Jimmy Uso sort of now he's going to have the fans unsure. Do I cheer him? Do I boo him? But then, you know, Solo's going to get involved and it's going to be the beatdown. And you still won't see Jay make the save because Jay's going to be focusing on his title. Title
match. Yeah. Well, more than likely this Friday, we'll get an answer from Jimmy as to this whole attack on Tama Tonga, from Tama Tonga and Solo and how he feels about it. We'll more than likely get something out of Jimmy this week.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's... That's pretty much all I've got on Tama Tonga. I mean, I'm glad that, again, it was Carl Anderson who was sort of being a talent scout without being a talent scout, you know?
Right. But I'll bet you, like, because, I mean, we've seen WWE now start to allow these things in the past year and a half. I mean, we had Shinsuke go a year ago to Japan to face Antonio Inoki. Or not Inoki, Great Muta.
I was going to say... I was going to say, did Inoki rise from the dead for that match? Because he's been passed away for a while now.
No, I was trying to think of Muda's other name.
Oh, KJ Mudo, his real name.
Yes. So that's what it was.
Yeah.
So we've seen that they're more open to working with other companies now. Nick Khan wants this. So does Triple H.
So does the next man in our stories, by the way. And this is a great segue. We're going to move on to Rossi Ogawa.
Okay.
Who has revealed the name of his new promotion. And he is calling it Marigold.
Okay. Interesting.
Seems like every time I go to change up the story, I freeze out.
Yes. Marigold. So, like, again, I don't know enough about Rossi Ogawa. I know that he's had other promotions. Now, is Marigold...
He ran Stardom.
Okay, so it was an all-female promotion. So is...
Yeah. Marigold's going to be the exact same one. Yeah, exact same thing. It's going to be all-female. Julia has already agreed to do shows to help Rossi Ogawa get the promotion off the ground. When Rossi Ogawa left Stardom, he brought a bunch of women stars with him. There was a list. I can't find that list right now of wrestlers who are signed. Ogawa, on the other hand, has also said he would be open to lending wrestlers to the WWE. WWE is sending some wrestlers over to him as well.
Nice. So,
and again, I do think that this is because Rossi Ogawa was in Philadelphia at WrestleMania. He was there for Bull Nakano's induction. You saw him front row. You saw him front row center. I do think that there was some deals that were struck there.
I would not be surprised. I mean, we saw Julia make her appearance in the crowd at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Rossi Ogawa was beside her at that time.
Oh, okay. As I read to you just before the show from Covalent TV, Julia is expected to make her debut in July at NXT Heatwave in Toronto. Yeah.
Which, like I said, gives plenty of time for Julia to do her thing with Rossi getting Marigold off the ground, because that's, we reported on this months ago when Ogawa initially left Stardom that he was going to work on a new promotion. And we already knew at that point Julia was on her way to the WWE. And she decided at that time, this was around the Royal Rumble, we reported on this. Yep. She decided that she was going to stick around and help Rossi, because Rossi Ogawa was a dude that, you know, helped her get her off the ground, get her name out there.
Right.
And I'm excited to see this. I want to see the first show.
Right. Yeah, again, because I don't know enough about Rossi Ogawa, I'm well aware of Stardom as a promotion. Because I remember hearing about it, reading about it. But again, I haven't watched it. I don't watch or follow enough Japan. And that's on me. I'll take that. That's me being ignorant as a wrestling fan.
If on your IPTV, man, if you can find anything Japanese wrestling, tune in and check it out. I have to correct myself. The name of the full name of the promotion is actually Dream Star Fighting Marigold. Dream Star Fighting Marigold.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm.
I do actually get New Japan Pro Thursdays at 10 o'clock following Impact on Access TV.
Okay, so I've got a list of the wrestlers that he has. Go ahead and finish what you were going to say, though. I'm going to go through this list.
However, New Japan has also announced that they are changing their showtime in the U.S.
Oh.
This is very, very interesting, especially for, say tomorrow night when New Japan starts to go Wednesdays at 8 o'clock.
Well, you know where I'm going to be tuning into if I can find it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I believe AEW. It's 8 o'clock, but it might be, I might be wrong on the 8 o'clock. It may be 10 o'clock. So right after.
But it'll be okay. In all honesty, I mean, I would actually be hitting that last channel and tuning back and forth between the shows. That's how I was when the TNA Monday Night Wars happened as well. Yeah. And I say TNA because we didn't get the WWF Monday Night Wars. We got strictly Raw and had to wait till Wednesday for Nitro.
Tuesdays.
Oh yeah, Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. Right as soon as I got home from school, Nitro would be on.
See, I would watch it Tuesdays at midnight.
Yeah.
Because Raw would be replayed at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. It became Tuesdays at midnight for me as well because I started working in the call center sector. So I had to take Nitro and then watch it.
And then, though I don't remember much of the Monday Night Wars with TNA because that was not under Jeff Jarrett or Dixie Carter. That was under Hulk Hogan's regime. And that just failed miserably.
There were some shining moments there. There were some. But, not a lot, but some.
Speaking of which, let's talk about some potential debuts, because this weekend we do have a TNA pay-per-view on Saturday evening.
Okay, but before we get that, I actually have some more news regarding Rossi Ogawa and Marigold. He has stated that the first event will be held at Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, May 20th, 2024. And he's calling it Marigold Fields Forever. Sorry, my sickness is not allowing me to focus here. It's going to be streaming on something called Wrestle Universe.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look into that, because if it's a streaming service for wrestling from all different companies, sign me up.
Right.
Sign me up. Yeah, so what were you had mentioned that TNA's got a show coming up this Friday or this weekend.
Yes, TNA has a show coming up this Saturday night, Rebellion from the Palms in Las Vegas. With Nick Nemeth challenging Moose for the title. But again, as we've been hearing numerous times, we were sort of anticipating them last weekend at the Royal Rumble, but we follow that up with the AEW pay-per-view Dynasty this coming Sunday night.
Dude, are you really that far behind that you're still at the Royal Rumble? Because you said last weekend at the Royal Rumble.
Or last weekend at WrestleMania. But again, we could potentially be getting the Motor City Machine Guns AEW debut.
Yeah. And that's...
It's disappointing, but it does. But they've been there. Like, they went in, they did a match. Like, they've got, you know, former running buddies like Jay Lethal there, Jeff Jarrett. So they've got all that history.
Yeah, I suppose you can say that. Sorry, you said the main event was Nick Nemeth and Moose.
Yes.
There's a part of me that wants to see Nick Nemeth win, but I really think Nick Nemeth needs his time in the spotlight.
I do as well, but I think that Moose needs to keep the title because he does deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll agree there too, because let's face it, when he came to TNA some years ago, there was a lot of people that really weren't high on him, I suppose you could say, because he was super, super, super green. And they thought that putting the championship on him was a little too soon at that time, you know?
Right.
But I was the type that when he came in, I'm like, well, just wait and see. Just let it play out. As we always say, let it play out, you know? So what other matches are featured on this card?
We're also getting Moose's tag team partners in the system. So Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, defending the tag team titles against, oh, it's not going to give me the pictures, is it? All right, let's see if I can find it here. So we are going to get Jordan Grace defending the Knockouts Championship against Steph DeLander.
Oh, I'm all for that. I am 100% all for that.
With one Matt Cardona in Steph's corner. Last man standing. Josh Alexander versus Hammerstone.
Yes. Give me anything with Hammerstone, man.
Mustafa Ali defends the X Division title. I almost said NXT title. Against Jake something.
You know what? I actually, speaking of Jake something, I got to say, I really like his name. Because every time I hear it, I'm like, well, do we not know his last name or something like that?
Yeah. We are getting...
It works.
Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers defending against Speedball Mountain, which is the team of Mike Bailey and Trent Seven.
You know, okay, so when it comes to Trent Seven being in TNA, I'm happy he's there. But at the same time, I'm bummed out he's not in the WWE.
Right.
Him and Tyler Bate as Mustache Mountain. One of my favorite things about NXT UK.
Yep. Then we are getting Full Metal Mayhem, otherwise known at one time as TLC, Eric Young, and Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, that's going to be a demolition derby mixed with good wrestling.
And then former friends collide as Rich Swann with AJ Francis in his corner takes on Joe Hendry.
I love, okay, Joe Hendry is one of the shining stars in TNA right now. Yes. I love everything he's been doing.
Right? He is one that he's, I think NXT needed him last year.
Yeah. You could have brought him in, okay? Joe Hendry, you could have brought him in and reignited his feud with Joe Coffey that they had in WCPW. Because they had some fantastic matches in WCPW.
And on the pre-show, we are getting the tag team of Decay defending the Knockouts Tag Team Championship. So Rosemary and Havoc versus the team of Spitfire, whoever they are. And a six-man tag match, which is the Rascals and Myron Reed taking on ABC and Leon Slater.
Should be interesting to see regardless. I mean,
yes.
Joe Hendry is enough for me to want to check out the show because, as I've said, I just love Joe Hendry. Oh. I love everything he does.
Wait. You said his name, but hasn't appeared.
Yeah. I said his name about three times now. Where is he?
Dang it, Joe Hendry.
Oh, geez. But no, this I'm not one for tuning in for TNA pay-per-views, but I may find a way to watch it.
Yep.
I may find a way to watch it.
For me, it's going to depend on NHL playoffs on Saturday night.
You can still watch it afterwards if you find certain routes to watch it.
Yes.
But I hate to bring us down a little bit, but I kind of have to do this.
Okay.
So you've seen the movie Beyond the Mat countless times, as have I. One of the independent wrestlers who was on that show passed away over the weekend. That being pro wrestler Tony Jones. Starred in Beyond the Mat. Had a great outing for his the audition scenes that he did. JR gave him praise. Mankind gave him praise. Even Jim Cornette gave him praise. But he just he couldn't quite get over that hump. He had that he had that audition with why is his name escaping me right now? It's not Mike Mondo. Mike Modest.
Okay.
Yeah, you remember the scene very, very well right now.
Yep.
Yeah. He sadly passed away. Age 54, I think it was, 54.
Another one just gone too young. But it's also in
had a path though. Yeah, had a very prolific career in the indies afterwards, though. Working for All Pro Wrestling on Roland Alexander, which is where he came from when WWE asked him to come and do a tryout match. Traveled all up and down basically the Western Seaboard, working the indies there. Just was hired everywhere he went. And even though he didn't quite reach that superstardom that we all thought he was going to reach, it still hits us hard when a brother in arms passes away.
It does. It does. And I mean, he's another one just gone too young.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's also indicative of the wear and tear that the industry takes on us.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at it now at, you know, I'm just a little bit younger than he is, or he was. And, you know, like, I'm glad I got out when I did. I'm glad my age caught up with me. But I mean, like, and we don't know the whole cause of it, like whether it was whether he was tragically taken from us or if he just passed away in his sleep. But I mean, it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the grind.
Yeah. And let's face it. I mean, we looked at the Canadian independent wrestling scene. We know what the American independent wrestling scene is like, and it is a grind trying to get your name out there, working everywhere you possibly can, everywhere you want to go. And Tony, yeah, he did stick to all pro wrestling up until Roland Alexander himself passed away. He left the wrestling industry for a tad, came back to it, but still continued working. And there's no reports on how he passed away yet. 53 was his exact age.
Wow.
When he passed away. But we saw, like, in watching Beyond the Mat, when they were showing the training videos that him and Mike Modest were doing, we saw the amount of hard work that he was putting into it on top of working his day job, which was at the time a funeral. Or was he no, he worked at Visa. He was the one who said he worked at Visa.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say he wasn't the funeral guy. That was Mike Modest. But no, it's, again, like, after Beyond the Mat, Tony Jones and Mike Modest were two guys whom I started to follow because I'm like, okay, independent wrestling scene, this is right. Going to be interesting to see. I hadn't, at that time, I had very little information about how the independent wrestling scene worked. So through the internet, I was able to follow these guys and, you know, find matches of theirs online and all that. And Tony Jones was actually a pretty decent worker from what I saw.
Right. And I mean, I don't know really anything about him. I'll have to go and look up, try and see if I can find some of his old work. But we know, we didn't even have to really go out on the road. We sort of waited when the shows came here to be able to go and throw our boots on and get in the ring. Now, you and I, we started on a beach, but I mean, we've also done it on gym mats. We've done it in a parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, so we've always found a way to do it to a point where we didn't put that wear and tear on our bodies. And then when the opportunities came for us to be able to get in the ring here locally, at least I can only speak for me and not having gone out of town and on a tour.
Yeah, I've never done the tour scene myself.
So
the only out-of-town match I ever did was for our local company under who he who shall not be named when we went to Iron Bridge and did a show.
Right. I guess my biggest out-of-town shows were right across the river in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan.
Yeah.
Where I actually made my in-ring debut.
Was that under Bucky?
That was.
Okay.
That was. And I was teaming with one Carl Carafell and he who shall not be named in a 3-on-1 gauntlet match for the SWA title.
Hey, and now that you mentioned Carl Carafell, we should preface this by saying he is not with us tonight. He is off doing his shoot job. He's off... He's on patrol surveying the streets of Sault Ste. Marie tonight.
Yes. But as we've been talking about the independent scene and the grind, I know we really can't see it, but I do have a t-shirt right up here for one Zandra Lee, who is a Canadian female independent wrestler from, is it Thunder Bay or North Bay?
I can't remember what she told me. It's been a couple of months since I spoke to her, so.
But we, she is another fantastic talent, and I'm hoping she will come back here soon as we prep for another independent show to be coming our way in mid-June.
That's right. We've got CWE announcing its next set of tour dates. June 15th, it'll be coming through our town, Sault Ste. Marie. And, let's just say for who's joining in, you're looking at the real deal now. D'Lo Brown is
going to be... Bob your head Bob your head. Walk to the ring.
Put the arms out.
Yep.
D'Lo Brown is going to be joining in, and this will be the second Nation of Domination member that I've met who's been on the CWE tours.
Yes.
The first one being one Savio Vega.
Yes.
A lot of people tend to forget that Savio Vega was once a member of the Nation of Domination.
Yes, he was.
With D'Lo Brown, by the way, because D'Lo was one of the many bodyguards.
Yes, before he became an actual competitor, or what we were allowed to see him become an actual competitor.
Yeah, because the first bump I do remember seeing D'Lo take was when Ahmed Johnson gave him a Pearl River plunge on top of a truck.
Yep. I have seen D'Lo a few times in ring, primarily at house shows, but I've also gotten to see him working as a backstage agent and a producer. And I'm not just talking on TV. I am talking at live events when you would see him helping with the setup.
You just triggered a memory of mine too. I too actually got to see D'Lo Brown wrestle live. It was back in 2006. He was on his way out from the WWE at that time for his first time.
Okay.
And he had a dark match at Unforgiven 06 against Super Crazy.
Okay. So we know that D'Lo, what D'Lo brings to the table. And again, I'm just hoping, like, I haven't heard, I had other friends besides yourself and Carl that were at that show with Savio. But a lot of them came back with reviews that he really didn't do much, and they weren't sure if it was just because of the size of the ring or because of his age.
Savio did a lot. Savio pulled double duty that night.
Right.
Triple duty if you want to count like him meeting with the fans and everything.
Right. So I think it was more with, because it was, he was in the main event, which was an 8-man tag, which that's where they really said that he really didn't do a lot other than go in and get the fall. But I wasn't I can't speak to it.
And then those fans missed out on the first 5 minutes when everyone was brawling across the arena.
Yeah.
Because Savio was right in the thick of it.
Right. I wasn't there. I can't speak to it.
Mm-hmm. But D'Lo Brown was my most favorite Nation member. I loved everything D'Lo did, and I will tell him that when I meet him.
Yes.
And I hope he has the European Championship with him.
Because that would be awesome.
We talk about titles that were synonymous with people. That title, the European title, was synonymous with D'Lo Brown.
Yes. I've been to CWE shows at other locations, other venues, but over the tour they were doing draws and you'd have to buy a ticket, but the grand prize overall from the tour was to win, I believe it was the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I believe that was when Psychosis was here.
Which time code though? Cause he's come up a few times.
Psychosis. I only got to one show with him. Hoovie was here, but I didn't get to that show, but I did get to meet Hoovie when I was working at Tim Hortons. Cause him along with Jimmy Jacobs, Vinnie Marsaglia, AKA Vincent.
Yeah.
And TK O'Ryan all came into my Tim Hortons for lunch.
But yeah. Oh my God. Just thinking about D'Lo Brown coming into the suit. Like he's one of my most favorite members of the Nation of Domination. Loved everything he did. He was just gold when he, the chest protector. Oh my God. I want him to bring the chest protector too.
Right. Right. Now I don't believe I have anything that I am committed to that night. So you can probably make a safe bet that OMD will be at the CWE.
And you will be repping that TBT, that Turnbuckle Talk, or that TBS, Turnbuckle Studios.
That's right. That's right. And that rhyme, what I said initially rhymed, and you know it rhymed.
Yeah, that's why I went with that. Oh my God. I'm just, so when I saw the news, I was in the middle of, like, you know, kind of waking up, and I'm like, oh, okay, D'Lo Brown's coming. And then it's now sinking in, you know what I mean? And I'm just, yes, I can't wait to meet D'Lo. I can't wait to get a picture with him.
Right. The one guy that I would love to see come, and probably one of my all-time favorite Nation member, would be the Godfather, comma. We've gotten to see
him live. Yeah, we did. I know that him and D'Lo still talk, so if D'Lo had a pleasant experience, you know?
Yeah. And he doesn't even need to get into the ring and wrestle, but I don't even know if he does the appearances anymore, because I know that Godfather is very busy with his other business interests.
He still does.
We're not talking about pimping. We're talking about his other business interests.
Yeah, his clubs that he runs.
Yeah.
But yeah, he still does appearances. He just has to make time for them. I know there's a conference in New Jersey that he frequently goes to. I can't remember what it was called. But I know that he can make the time. Right. For sure. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see who's all going to be on the card. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm looking forward to now, is the card.
The other thing that I'm going to hope for is that D'Lo brings his cut from the Aces and Eights in TNA.
He probably will. I want to see the chest protector, his cut, the European title, maybe the Attitude Era Intercontinental title that he had. Did he have any titles in NWA?
I'm not sure.
I feel like he held the NWA heavyweight title at one time.
He might have.
I know he challenged AJ Styles in the early days of NWA for that title.
Right.
But I don't remember if he's ever held it. But yeah, this is going to be D'Lo Brown. I'm excited, you know? But what do you say? Let me see here. Okay, that already covered that story. We just did the CWE. This is an interesting story, a little tidbit that I came across here. But let me see here if I can find it here. In Uganda, there is a pro wrestling school. I'm trying to catch the name of it here. Oh, Soft Ground Wrestling Uganda, it's called. What they're doing, it's run by a guy who was a pro wrestler in Africa. He's long retired. He's training youth in the world, of pro wrestling. They don't have a ring right now, so all their training is actually done in mud, with bamboo poles and twine being used for ropes. They are properly trained. I've watched some of the matches already that they've done. They're doing the moves correctly and everything like that. I think that this is... I am frozen. Hear me roar. Yeah, sorry about that. I was trying to say, I find that this is very, very interesting that they're doing... that the world of pro wrestling is starting to expand into third world nations, and I'm very happy that this is another avenue, as the guy who's running it had said, this is an avenue where he can take kids who want to learn pro wrestling, who have been watching pro wrestling, WWE and all that on TV in Uganda, and want to learn it. this is, he said this is an avenue for kids to get out of the world of crime, because Uganda is a very crime ridden country.
It is.
I like that somebody's taking this initiative and doing this.
I love it. I am all for it. It's something that is sorely needed right here in our community.
We used to have that. We used to have a boxing company that did that.
Yep. But we do have a couple of MMA companies,
mm-hmm.
but we do need to get something, again, to keep the kids off the street, to keep them from getting into the opioids and the crime. And so I love it. And the fact that this is being done in a like war-torn, ravaged country
mm-hmm.
is fantastic. I am all for it. So congratulations and big ups to this man.
Yeah. The guy is named Boomba. It's a really interesting name, but no, he's charging 100,000 shillings in Ugandan dollars. It's an equivalent to 26 Canadian dollars, give or take, which is actually really cheap for a pro wrestling school, by the way.
Right.
But no, he trains the guys. They hold weekly matches. He uploads them onto YouTube. There's no ring right now. However, there is a GoFundMe that's been put out there for people to donate to this company to getting a ring. Jordan Grace has already sent in a donation. Will Ospreay has done the same thing, and I've got the link to that here. It's gofundme.com/f/save-soft-ground-underground-uganda-wrestling. Go to that link. It's scrolling along the bottom here on the screen for those who are watching. Check that link out. There's a lot of cool stuff there. You get a lot of cool features for making donations and all that. Well worth it, I think, if you want to contribute to the future of pro wrestling.
And I think that, you know, some guys that really should go, maybe go and make a difference. How about a guy from Ghana? Maybe go down and not just make a donation, but maybe make an appearance. How about maybe a giant from Nigeria go and make an appearance just to go say hello?
Mm-hmm. And that's not to knock against Kofi, because Kofi has already been working, getting pro wrestling elevated in the South African market.
Right.
He could definitely go and do that. to Uganda. I'm losing my voice here. Hang on.
Yeah, I'm not trying to knock on Kofi or Omos. I'm trying to encourage them to go and, you know, just make their presence known, show their support for this man and for this company.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just completely friggin' cool that they're doing this.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
I mean, I never thought of pro wrestling as an avenue to help kids get off the streets, because that's how I did look at MMA schools and all that kind of thing. But I never thought of pro wrestling being that avenue as well.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. If we can get a pro wrestling school here going, and we want some, and we've got some kids who want to come in and learn how to do it, by all means, let's do it. We've got guys here in the Sioux who can train.
Yes, we do.
What do you think on that note, brother? We wrap it up, since we are well over the 1 hour mark that we do for the show.
I'm thinking that we've hit that time. I think we've peaked.
And my throat is really starting to go right now.
Well, then what I will do is, how about you hit them socials. Up with yours? Okay. So, people, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook at Daniel Hryciek, HRYCYK, on Snapchat, One Man Dynamic, capitals on OMD, on Twitch, OMD17, and on Discord at OMD6370. Visually, you can catch me right here every Monday night with Chris Best, Carl Carafel, Run-In Parrish, and Bubba Duke on the Raw Patrol every Tuesday right here with Chris Best and Carl Carafell on Turnbuckle Talk, every Thursday on the Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke, and now every Monday at 7 p.m. with our friends over at the Window Lickers. The voice, Joshua Joseph, the bulkster, Terry Haunts, Bubba Duke, and myself as we do a Raw review preview show.
All right, sweet deal. And I lost my spot here. Okay, here's my socials here. You can find me youtube.com at CBRS Entertainment, twitch.tv at CBRS _ Entertainment, threads.net at CBSFilms83, facebook.com Chris.Best83, tiktok.com CBRS.Entertainment. You can look for me this Friday, provided my throat can hold up, as I do the second episode of the Chris Damage My Rice story on WWE 2K24. You can also look for me this Saturday doing Saturday Night Gaming, where I continue the adventures of Nathan Drake and Uncharted 3. You can look for me Monday nights alongside this fella here, OMD, 8 p.m. Eastern, as we do the Raw Patrol alongside Carl Carafell, Bubba Duke, and Chris Parrish. Look for us next week, 8:05 Eastern, where once again we will bring you the wrestling news you might not have heard of, as we do Turnbuckle Talk. Episode 369 next week, folks. And on that note, as Carl careful with each other.